Did you know that 46% of us don't take all our vacation days? Even though it's been proven that taking time off to play makes us more productive.
In California, no matter where you go, you'll find play. Explore a redwood forest, immerse yourself in art galleries, or just park yourself in a beach chair and chill. Play is everywhere in California, so take some well-deserved play time off and discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Apple Card is the perfect cashback rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase, every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/card calculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch. Subject to credit approval. Terms apply.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Ladies and gentlemen,
we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars for the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts. But we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
There he is.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness. Today, audience, we have a very, very, very
Dude,
fancy
how are you
guest.
Still so thin? How is this possible? How That's is fair. This possible that you are still a svelte, young-looking man? I have an IV in my arm right now. I don't know if you guys can see
what
this.
What happened?
Oh, no. I have was a bit dehydrated, and so needed to get an IV in order to get back to one. You water know, doesn't always work. Water Chris, doesn't always work. You know, you
I
try
love
to,
those. Tim, you know about those? You can go to a place, or you can even pay more and have them come to your home. I'm sure if you don't live in L.A., they probably have this in a city near you, but you can go get fluids. You can go get hydrated. You get vitamins. If you're super hungover, you can go get a hangover concoction.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, there's one of those right up near my house.
Yeah.
Do you,
well,
do you ever use it?
I do it all the time. I don't.
I don't.
I
don't.
I do it when I feel a cold coming on and I go, oh no, not now, not now. I go and they give you like, they just blast you with vitamins. It feels
right.
Nice.
So yeah. Zach and I have something coming up that we have to take care of and I'm trying to get. Like, I'm going to tell you something, Tim, I don't know about you, but I don't work out like I used to.
You look good.
No, should, not
sorry,
like
wait,
you do.
Pause 1 second. This is Tim Hobart, everybody. We're on season 6. We're really up in the game with fancy guests. Tim was one of the best writers on Scrubs, and he is one of Bill's best friends, and he's just an all-around great guy. And I didn't want to even bother Tim to come on the show until I heard through the grapevine that Tim actually is a fan of the podcast and wanted to come
show.
On. Tim, tell us how great we are.
Well, let me tell you, and I wrote some stuff down. That this I learned about this. I'm not very technological, so I don't do a lot of like things on my phone. But I learned about this during the pandemic, and I started listening to it, and it brought me unbridled joy.
Oh, good.
You guys, like, I can't wait to see what the, I know you're talking about what the next podcast is going to be.
We don't know.
I'm enjoying the shit talk with the New Girl podcast as well.
Yeah, well, we get, you know, I also follow Daniel, did you meet Tim? That's Daniel.
Indeed, we had a nice conversation before everybody got in.
Okay.
We wanted to make sure that Tim was set up to record,
Tim,
but. Pleasure to meet you again, Tim.
Tim, very few of our guests, and I would introduce Joelle, but I don't see her. She may have checked out for a second.
I'm sorry, I'm here. Just doing
That's
a quick
Joelle,
message.
That's Joelle, Tim. Tim, you're one of the first guests. I just want to give you a compliment who's ever figured out sounding good right off the bat. You don't seem to be having any. You know from the show that Sarah is the worst culprit. You are really getting an A plus so far.
Also, Gabby fucked it up 8 ways to Sunday.
Oh, Gabby didn't. Gabby lied that she'd ever even.
She
heard
didn't
of the
watch
Pied
the show.
She never watched it. She didn't even know what she was coming on to do.
I mean,
she had no clue what the
show
was
about. She wrote the episode and she didn't watch it. And no. Zach, you said something very funny, which I was listening to. You had the British people on. They were telling a story about how one of them loved Scrubs and she had never seen the show. And you said, that's okay. Neither has Gabby. You guys mercilessly just killed her.
Well, it was very uncomfortable. It's hard to do the show. And I assumed that not only since you're a fan of the podcast and you wrote the fucking episode, that you might take the time to review it.
And it's known as the Gabby example now.
Yes, Gabby sets the example. You know, by the way, I think Gabby may have indirectly made Donald and I not want to have writers on anymore because...
Well, also at the end of the show, you were talking to that couple from England that were both doctors, and you were talking about how medical marijuana is legal in England. And Gabby just screams out, and abortion. You can get an abortion. And Zach, you go, I'd personally rather smoke weed, but you do your thing, Gabby.
Wow,
I'm telling you
funny.
Guys. I'm telling you guys.
That guy's funny. Tim, we have so much to talk about. Donald, I don't even know where to begin with Tim. I'm so excited you're here.
Okay, I have a bunch of questions I have to ask him. One. What year did you join us? Season 2? Season 3?
Here's my thing. I only joined season 2 of Neil Flynn's show. So I got on season 2 of Scrubs and season 2 of The Middle.
Wow. That's your specialty.
That's
your
why
specialty
I haven't worked in a while. I'm waiting for...
Because Neil Flynn's not on a show.
He has to get a show and I have to wait a year.
Wait, weren't you working on Psych a little bit also?
No, that's Callahan.
Callahan.
You're mixing up your white writers, Donald.
They all kind of look alike, your white non-Jewish
comedy writers. There's
we
only
drink
two.
And we fight and we fight and we drink.
And then we fight some more. Hey, so
you
Callahan,
running around in that leprechaun outfit singing that was one of my favorite memories of Scrubs.
That was, I mean. That,
you were running around in a leprechaun outfit going, we drink and we fight and we fight and we drink.
So Tim,
then we fight some more.
We joined season 2. And we should mention, very importantly, that Mike Hobart, Tim's little brother, is Lonnie.
Lonnie, the
pizza delivery guy.
And the pizza delivery guy. One of the very few human beings to play two different characters on Scrubs. Unless, you know, you heard this, Tim. We debated whether Lonnie had then gone on to medical school.
Oh,
from his pizza delivery pilot experience.
That's got to be on Scrubs Wiki that he was in the pilot as a pizza delivery guy.
No, it is. It is. We discussed it. And Donald and I said, is he one of the only people in Scrubs history to play two different characters? Or did Lonnie, did the pizza delivery guy from the pilot go off and go to med school and become Lonnie?
Yeah. I mean, they're both possible. I mean, I love listening to you guys deconstruct the way this shit happens.
Well, we're about to do it with your episode. But wait, I wanted to ask you, when did you leave us to do The Middle?
So I wrote the first episode of season 6, and then I went off to develop. And then I ran that Brad Garrett show for a year. And then
What's
I went
the
to
Brad Garrett. Oh, what was
it like
called?
It was called Till Death, which was a good, it was very apropos because he almost
killed
me.
Oh, it only went 1 year?
No, it went 100 episodes, but he tortured me.
Oh, you didn't have a good experience.
You guys didn't have a good experience.
Yeah.
That commercial with him and Tommy Johns.
What the hell? I mean, he was super nice. So, like, he gave me like a Brett Favre football, but then he would just torture me.
Well, that's not a good working environment. No one wants to be in a place with that. So you regretted leaving. I like that. And then, you know, what happens for those of you not in the business is a writer will get hot and they're on a hot show and then their contract is up. And it's like a sports analogy, Donald. Their contract is up and they're in demand for other teams.
Yes.
I've noticed that some writers don't even finish the gig. They'll get like halfway through. And if it looks like the show's either on the bubble and they don't know what it's going to do, they bounce really fast to the next gig.
Well, they want to make dat money, Donald.
I understand that, but there's no loyalty in this business.
By the way, I want to tell you, I have two things I did this week that are so not me. They're so Donald. And they were both wonderful. I watched a sports documentary.
Which one? Okay.
Netflix has a series called Bad Sports. You guys would love this. Tim, you love the sports.
I love sports. I love, yeah.
Well, Bad Sports is about...
And I love your sports analogies.
Bad Sports is about controversies in sports. And this one was about point shaving, the ASU point shaving scandal. Do you remember that?
Yeah, sure.
Yes.
I never knew what point shaving was. I'm fascinated by it.
It was a player that was actually doing
two.
It. Yeah, but they were so good at it because they would have like phenomenal games, like score 30 points, 40.
Yes.
You know, but still.
Did you watch it?
Lose the game. No, I remember when it happened.
You got to watch this doc, dude. This guy, it's so sad. It's tragic. They were broke and they were young and they did it and they did their time and they suffered the consequences. But when you watch the man cry as he tells his story, because he was headed to the NBA.
Mm-hmm. Was it Charles Shackelford?
No, his nickname was he had a funny nickname, Headache. His nickname was Headache.
That is funny.
Anyway, he was so fucking good that the bookie would say, you can win, but it's got to be no more than 6 points.
Right.
And he would hit it. The game would end with 6 points.
You know,
he was the point guard, which I learned, Tim Hobart, really is the sort of quarterback in basketball.
Yeah, he's in control of the whole game.
Yeah.
Other than I didn't know that. I learned it from watching that.
Also in jazz music, there's a point guard, you know? So the guy that the people that everyone follow in the improvisation.
So is Michael Jordan the point guard?
No. He's a two guard.
Yeah.
But you might as well consider him a point guard because he had the ball in his hand most of the time.
Let me ask you and I'm sorry again. Everyone listening knows that I know very little. Your best player, your mega player, isn't always the point guard?
No,
not always.
Okay.
Most likely, your best player isn't the point guard.
Zach, I watched the Rescue.
Yes, I recommended the
and
Rescue.
And Donald, you need to watch this.
It's fascinating.
Shit, Tim.
And also, I learned something very interesting from a guy who I played tennis with. He said, you would assume in the Rescue that all the...
Don't give away any spoilers, Tim, because our audience doesn't want spoilers. For those of you who may have missed an episode, The Rescue is a documentary on Disney about the young boys who were trapped in a cave. Anyway, it's amazing, the doc, and now Ron Howard is making, has made, and the buzz around town is that it's amazing, the narrative version of it. Anyway, people should watch that. Now, Tim, I was just reminding the audience, what were you about to say about it without giving away spoilers?
You can edit it out, but my friend told me, I assumed that all the footage that they had of the, you know, going back and forth underwater, they must have rigged cameras up for safety or something, but that was all recreated. It blew my mind.
Oh, I don't like that.
I know, but it blew my mind.
The second thing I did, Donald, is I said, I'm going to try. I'm sick and tired of this global phenomenon of Marvel. I'm dating a Marvel superhero. I said, I'm going to give some of these movies a chance. The last one, I really don't watch them. Of course, I watched one. I watched Black Widow and I've seen an Avengers movie. But I'm like, I'm going to give the phase one a chance. And I had seen Iron Man and I always loved Iron Man. So I started with Iron Man 2 and I really enjoyed it.
Oh, shit.
And then I went on to Thor 1, which I didn't enjoy as much. But I didn't, although, you know, I love me some Natalie Portman. I thought the movie wasn't as good. But then, per Donald's recommendation, I watched the first Captain America, which was great.
Fucking amazing movie.
It's well done.
Well done. Wait till you see the second one. It's better.
I'm done, babe. It's done.
I'm sorry, guys. I just got to get this IV out. We could do it. Let's talk about something.
So there's a nurse. I just want the audience to know there's now a nurse that's come in. Wait,
Donald, closet. Did you call the nurse baby?
No, yeah, why did you call the nurse baby?
My wife, babe.
You can't do that anymore.
That's not appropriate. Donald.
Yeah, you can't look off to the nurse and say baby.
I called the nurse baby. Can you please make an entrance real quick and say hi? Please.
It appears.
Play the theme song. Casey, come down here. I don't know nothing about raising these fools. So tell me what to do.
kids, and that's what it is.
Come on, guys.
It appeared that he called the nurse baby, Casey.
You know what? He's trained. That's all he knows what to say.
Anytime. Tim Holbert here was, you know, have you guys met Tim?
Hi.
No, I feel like probably I know you, though, because of the podcast.
Okay, well, hi. Tim was just saying that we're not back in a year where you call nurses babe, so remind your husband.
Yeah. Yeah, we're working on that. He doesn't get out much. I don't let him go anywhere, so... You know, he's not used to being around people.
Donald and I have a very big surprise that we can't talk about, but maybe we can bleep out. Nope. But I want Tim to hear it, and the audience can hear Tim's reaction to it.
I can't wait.
And maybe Joelle and Daniel's reaction to it. But we'll just have to bleep out what it is, I think.
Do I know?
Yeah, you know. It's the thing that we're doing.
Oh, the thing.
Are you guys making it official?
Yes, the thing.
Hey, Donald, I thought we could tell... Joelle, Daniel, and Tim are thing, and they'll bleep it out, but the audience can at least hear their reaction to it. Our exciting thing.
Okay. I was going to do it. You said you wanted to do it. I was going to do it.
But why, how come you get to steal doing the thing?
You do it. You know what? I was late. You do it. Go ahead.
Yeah, you were late. Timpani, Daniel? Timpani? Okay. Donald and I,
Shut up!
What?
Oh my god!
That's amazing.
My heart is so full for you guys. That's amazing.
That is look, awesome.
I'm gonna say something right now. When it came across the wire, Zach hit me up at like 10 o'clock at night after dinner with Flo, and he hits me up and he's had a couple, and he's like, "Dude, it fucking happened." I'm like, "What happened?" He's like, and I'm like, "Dude, you're so fucking drunk, yo. You're so drunk, dude."
No, in his reaction,
how drunk are you right now that you fucking?
I was calling you from bed, and I had a few, and I was so excited. And Don was like, "Oh, cool, whatever." And then when we hung up, Flo was like, "How come he wasn't more excited?" And I was like, "I think he's doing the whole 'I'll believe it when I see it' vibe."
And it was 10 o'clock at night, dude. Who calls you at 10 o'clock at night with news like that? No one.
Well,
you did, obviously.
Fans, you will know soon enough what that is. It's very cool. It's a very exciting thing for, I would say, a bucket list item for Donald and I.
It is definitely a bucket list.
Now, yeah. Donald, something we are allowed to talk about is your exciting DC news. Can you, that's on the interwebs.
I don't know how I got this lucky. I think, you know what? The whiteboard thing is real, dude. I really believe the whiteboard thing is real.
Well,
I know you told me, but I didn't believe.
It's magical.
It is magical. And... you know, I wrote a bunch of things on my whiteboard. One of them was being in DC, in the DC universe, and it has officially happened, dude. It has officially happened. Like, yeah, not only will
everyone,
I be in the DC universe,
tell everyone and keep in mind that a lot of listeners don't know the intricacies of the DC universe.
Right.
Go ahead.
Okay, so I'm going to be on a show called Legends of Tomorrow. It airs on
CW,
yeah. I'm used to calling it the WB from back in the day. That's how
old
school. I am.
With the
That's
frog.
How old I am.
Remember
yeah.
the frog?
Yeah,
remember the
frog?
Yeah. That was the WB frog.
Yeah, the WB frog.
Yeah.
Anyway, so it's on the CW. It's in the Arrowverse, which is Berlanti. We've had a couple of people from the Berlantiverse on the show, Tom Cavanaugh. Yeah, yes. Plays
and
the
Berlanti
reverse
keeps
flash.
Hiring us, so thank you, Greg Berlanti, for continuing to hire me and Donald.
Yes. Thank you. Yeah, thank you, Berlanti. Thank you, Sarah Schechter, also.
Yeah, she's
Shout
cool.
out. She's amazing. Anyway, so I will be... You can't... Nope, you got to beep that, but I will be... on Legends of Tomorrow.
Now, I learned, just because they, of course, then wrote me things, like, is Zach going to be...
That's who I think he should play, too.
Is it just a voice?
No, it'd be a character. We'd dress up like fucking superheroes, put on superhero outfits.
Well, you tell Berlanti that I'll...
Fuck yeah! It's on the podcast! It's on the podcast! It's on the podcast! Drop it! You're going to have to bleep who he says he's going to be. Yeah, dude, Vancouver's dope.
No, I don't fuck with Vancouver.
What?
Oh, shit!
What?
No, I love Vancouver, but is there... Wait, sorry. Let me start this over. Does Canada still have a two-week...
No, you don't have to quarantine.
Oh, because we talked about this on the podcast, yeah. But they were having a 2-week sit in a hotel room, fucking around quarantine.
Yeah.
Daddy,
like, don't
do
leave.
That.
Don't
Daddy, don't do that.
Yeah. No. They've
my friend, my good friend, did it for to do a show, and she sat in a hotel room for 2 weeks, and I would go shining.
Yeah, that's it.
Go shining. Think of the masturbation that goes on in those hotel rooms. Everyone's there for 2 weeks.
Yeah, 2 weeks.
I mean, it could clog the city sewer system.
Dude, yeah. I'm there for an hour. And I've already fucking shot five times.
Donald masturbates on the plane, right? Right. Donald masturbates.
No. You're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to do that.
They never say in the rules you can't.
There's an old stand-up joke. This is one of my favorite stand-up jokes from way back when. The guy goes, I found a Penthouse magazine in the seat back cover of my airplane seat. I have one word for you. Ocupado.
Do you know, my whole life I've always thought it was bizarre that in the magazine shop they put the black cover things over the porn
still.
Who's buying Penthouse and Hustler at the airport, and what are you doing with said magazine?
It's crazy.
Do they still have? I remember Playboy used to be at the airport, but that was like
You know how in the magazine shop there'd be like four magazines that had black covers on them, right? Yeah. Which is obviously porn. I don't know in 2022, but I remember looking a few years ago, and they still had them. And I was thinking, like, who are these people?
Who is sitting down holding a magazine?
It's not even like Playboy, which is like, especially now, is just like light. It's like Maxim. It's like Hustler and Penthouse.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Licking their finger and turning the page, like perusing Hustler on a pun.
This is so great. I can't believe I'm hanging out with you guys.
Yeah, we love you, Tim Hulbert.
Good to see you, man.
Tim, now, as last I recall, you had about 7 children. Did that increase or what?
I have 4 children. I had 4 children in 4 years, yes.
4 children in 4 years?
Yes.
We're not messing around.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Now what?
It was crazy.
That's like the Irish twins. Like, you guys weren't messing around.
We had a
and
daughter.
And you're Irish too, right?
Yeah, I am.
Wow, no, dude.
We drink and we fight.
We drink.
And then we had a daughter, a son, and then we had twins. So it was crazy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, also for fans, Jill, Tim's wife, played the patient that sang the Colin Hay song.
On a clear day.
On a clear day, I can see thee a very long way.
That was a great episode.
Jill did a fantastic job. Her acting in that was phenomenal.
Yeah, you had some good scenes with her in that.
She was so good, and her voice is ridiculous. And
that was one of my favorite weeks because all of our friends were on the show.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, everyone in that show was a friend of a writer or an actor. It was crazy.
Amazing.
Which is also what's so great about Bill.
Does that happen a lot?
That's Bill all the way.
Right. Because you would think that would happen, like, you know, Zach's directed several movies now. I've only been in one of them.
That's so sad.
The one you were in didn't do well, so I'm
automatically there. It is.
Well, I just thought it might have been my curse. So there it is. No more. So it's Method Man. I got to put Method Man in every one now.
It's either Method Man or freaking Got it.
Method Man. Listen, I have very good luck when my African American star is Method Man or Morgan Freeman. So I'm sticking with them. I put you in one movie and no one goes to see it.
Now, I'll tell you guys, the one thing that I can bring to this podcast that's unique is that I have all the dirt on Bill. You know, I mean, Bill was my first friend in LA. And
let's go.
And then I worked with him on Spin City, you know, until he left Spin City. And then right when Spin City
ended. Did you
work
on him with, that was the first show you worked with him on?
Yeah, so Bill hired me on Spin City, and I just got to LA, and he was my first friend, and then he did everything for me. I mean, he saw me do stand-up, and he got me a job doing warm-up for a show he was on. Then he introduced me to my wife. Then he hired me on Spin City.
Did this come from basketball? Were you guys playing basketball together?
I met him at the Hollywood Y. You guys were talking about Hollywood Shuffle. Robert Townsend used to play.
Right.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Rondell Sheridan. Do you remember him?
Yeah, Rondell. Yeah.
So Rondell Sheridan had a sitcom when everyone had a sitcom called Minor Adjustments. And
was he a chiropractor?
And when we would play against him at the Y, I'd go, "Oh, Rondell Sheridan makes some minor adjustments," and he hated it. But anyways, yeah, I met Bill at the, and then I worked on Spin City with him, which was insane. And then I came to the first, right when Spin City ended, he brought me on Scrubs. And all the writers on Scrubs were like, how can this guy talk to Bill this way? Like, because everyone's afraid of him. Yeah. And I would just call him on all his shit, you know, and it was hilarious.
Well, you guys, it was clear that you and he had known each other for really, really
long. Well, it was also clear, you know, Bill has also clear that Bill had a lot of respect for Tim. I mean, yeah. Bill would give Tim, you know, so much more responsibility than, you know, Tim. And
out the gate, too, though, if I'm correct. You came in.
But, I mean, there were certain, Bill had his, you know, it goes without saying, any leader knows who he can delegate to and delegate leadership to. And Tim, you know, you and Matt Tarsis are two examples that come to mind of writers in the room that he would say, okay, I got to go do X, Y, Z. You run the room. You're in charge.
Yeah,
right? So you
yeah.
did have a, you were kind of like a vice president at times.
Well, and he called me and he was like, you know, come on the second season of Scrubs. And so I really did a ton of homework on that show. Like I watched like every episode of the first season, wrote down everything. And I was like blown away how good the show was. And so when I came in, you know, all like a lot of writers are just like, oh, you're on hiatus after a long year. They don't want to watch the show. So when I came in, I just watched like all 24 of them and like studied them. And so I was just like, I couldn't wait to start working on that show. It was so good.
That's the thing. Prepared. You came in prepared.
I mean, and it was just such a good show. And the guy who writes the essays and you guys have on as a guest, what's his name?
Oh, Scrubs Wiki, Trevor.
Trevor yeah.
Oh, no. You're talking about, oh, Shay. Shay Serrano.
Shay. Oh, yeah. Shay Serrano. Shay.
Yeah. Like, I loved when he said that he liked seasons 2 and 5, because those are, like, my favorite seasons.
I think 5 is my favorite. Listen, we are doing, we're gonna 5, 6, 7, 8 soon into season 6, episode 1, everybody.
Yes. Crazy.
But I have to say, thus far, 5 is by far my favorite. I thought there's so many laughs in 1 through 4, but I like it one step trippier, and
so
season 5
trippy.
Definitely delivers.
Dude, so trippy. And it's fun listening to you guys deconstruct that shit and just be like, what the fuck happened?
I love it. And Bill has come on and said, you know, it was season 5. He's getting a little bored. He had to shake it up. And man,
oh my
did he shake
God.
It up. I mean, there's ostriches wearing Kangos.
So. Oh, right. My God. And you guys were just like gelling, you know?
Well, this episode, I'm going to say, I mean, I don't know what happened in between, but I mean, I feel like this episode is chock full of stoner humor throughout. Also, I feel for coming back into it, we seem like all very, very, very game and very, very confident in this
100%,
episode.
100%.
Oh,
I was really
rested.
Yeah. I was really blown away by, like, you know, usually like performances get bigger and stuff. And you guys were like right in the pocket on this one.
Thank you. You know, all right. Well, would you like to do the honors and count us in, Tim Hobart?
Oh my God, for real?
Yeah,
go
you get to.
Okay, let me get my special guest to do it with us.
Oh my
all right,
God.
Ready, Pippa?
Oh wow, cute dog. Right.
We're gonna do it together. Ready?
Yes. Right.
Yeah.
Can I kind of do a Donald impression?
Yes.
Sure. Go for it.
5, 6, 7, 8.
About a show we made about a bunch of docs and nurses and a janitor who loved to hate.
Good.
I gotta run to the restroom. I'll be right back.
Do it. That was flawless.
While Donald's peeing, I think we can still talk, Tim, about another thing I like about you is that you are capable of beating the very, very cocky Bill Lawrence in sports.
Yes,
you guys are both very good tennis players, and Bill. I mean, I've seen Bill beat like pros.
Bill's the most competitive man I've ever met. I used to say that Bill would come in first and third in a jack-off contest. That's how competitive he is.
Because you're saying during the second he would reboot.
Yes.
Oh wow, that's a good joke.
And then come in third as well.
It's a thinker. Yeah. It's a thinker that joke. Now, but now you guys have been playing pickleball, but you're on the same team when you play pickleball, right?
Yeah, no. It's me and JD, the real JD,
pickleball games
versus Matt Tarsus and Bill.
Oh my God, it's the most Scrubs pickleball game ever.
Gross.
It's the funniest thing ever.
Donald, Tim Hobart plays pickleball, him and real JD versus Matt Tarsus and Bill.
It's hilarious.
So it's two very unathletic players against No,
they're all great, right?
Well, Matt's really athletic, and JD's
Matt's a great tennis player.
JD, you wouldn't think, is athletic, but
I'm just going more basketball. I'm just going by basketball.
Yeah,
standards.
Matt's not a great basketball player.
Matt,
I hate to say
Matt
it.
Doesn't you just look at Matt Tarsus and think he was probably good at tennis?
Yeah, he is. He was a squash player too in college. I think.
There you go.
Yeah.
I'm shocking.
When
anything
Matt Tarsus,
with short shorts. Anything with short shorts.
No, he just looks like, you remember in Trading Places when they're like, any steps on the ball.
On the ball.
Matt Tarsus, when he plays basketball, sometimes like we'll be in like the fifth game of the night and Bill Callahan will say, Matt, when'd you get here?
Oh,
that's horrible.
So wait, that's fucked up. But Tim, you're equally as entranced by pickleball as Bill, right?
Yeah, but Bill gets like whenever there's something new, Bill loves to promote it and
get
watch
obsessed.
All. Yeah, he's obsessed. But
yeah, the new
but
thing Bill, is the suit. Do you know about the suit?
What's the suit?
Oh, wait,
Tim,
no.
We were talking about this at dinner. Donald, you don't know about this. You need to get. You can't get them now. There's this electrode suit,
right?
That all the cool kids are getting now. I think it's like $3,000, and it comes with a workout that you do for 20 minutes with an iPad workout. And it gets you ripped like fast.
Do you
Where
guys
can I find said suit?
Daniel, can you Google that for me? I think it's called The Suit.
I have a confession.
I don't know why I'm giving them
but
I want one.
Do you guys have Hypervolts? No. You know, the Theragun?
Yeah.
Theragun. We love Theragun.
Well, okay, because I'm friends with the lady who does Hypervolt. I'll get you guys Hypervolts, too, but you probably don't need them.
Joelle, isn't Theragun one of our advertisers? Or they were?
Yeah.
They were at one point.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We only use Theragun.
Okay. One thing quick, Zach, can I say before that we get off the Bill sports thing? Bill and I started playing a lot of tennis in the pandemic. We played 70 sets of tennis.
Wow. And what was
the score? The score is 35 all.
No, wow.
Oh,
no
so
kidding.
I think it's safe to say that you're well matched.
But then I just want to put this on the air that I've beat him soundly the last four times we've played, and he's very upset. No,
okay,
the last six times we've played.
He hasn't been on the show that much this year. He's such a busy man, so.
I've got a few like little Scrubs nuggets that I wrote down that I just
can't wait to tell you guys about. Give us the Scrubs nugget.
In my 20 plus years of writing comedy, Zach, my favorite ad lib was when Donald and Judy were in that bathtub and you were taking a shit.
Me too. That's my improv.
And you said, sorry about the twosie, guys. Yeah. That's to this day, that's my favorite thing. And I've worked with Neil Flynn now, you know, 8 more years on the middle. That's right. The funniest thing I've ever heard.
Okay.
Then here's a good one. One time, Matt Tarsus and I were being tortured by Bill. It was like 7 in the morning, and we kept bringing him this one scene in editing, and Bill would just keep telling us it wasn't good enough. And like the third time we brought in the editing bay, he's like, guys, it's just not good enough. And we walked out, the door shut, and then they hit play on the edit, and the joke was Dr. Kelso's face had been burned with coffee, and you go, whatever you do, don't say splotchy in your voiceover. And then you go, good splotchy, Dr. Splotchy. And we're outside the door having been told our scene isn't good enough for like the fifth time. And that's the fucking joke we hear come through the door. Where's the bar?
All right, we got to get into this episode. It was written by Tim Hobart. The beginning. Hey,
surprise.
Happy season 6. Everybody, again, not to be neurotic, but Donald and I have no plan for when we run out of episodes. So.
Maybe we should just watch things that we've been in next and go through that. That just seems weird, though. I don't know.
You guys should do a Broadway themed podcast.
No, the listeners will all go away. We have so many listeners worldwide. You have to, and we don't want any of them to leave. So
you want to bring them on to the next thing.
You either have to do something that would dovetail with their love of Scrubs.
Right.
Or you have to pivot to interviewing interesting people,
which everybody seems to be doing now.
Which everyone is doing, and it's sort of played out, and then it's like, how am I going to compete with Mark Maron?
I'm going to noodle on this one for you guys. I'm going to come up with something.
All right.
Oh, Catalyst. Okay, guys, sorry. I'm just going to circle back. Google Catalyst suit.
Catalyst.
Okay, this is Tim, weren't you with me when we were talking about this?
Yeah.
Oh, you guys hang out? Y'all hang out?
The reason I found out Tim was a fan of the podcast was he
Bill brought me to dinner.
Bill brought him to dinner.
Oh yeah, so y'all hang out.
All right, so you guys, this Catalyst suit, and this is apparently people are saying, and if Catalyst wants to send me and Donald a suit, we would be very happy to advertise the fuck out of it because they're expensive. But apparently this thing actually works. You work out in it for 20 minutes and you get ripped.
Yeah, it's like the Iron Man suit.
That shit looks like the Flash suit that from the movie.
No, Bill told me he was going to leave me that suit when he goes to Miami.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but not after I probably said I beat him in tennis. So
I think Bill and Krista got one. But there's a wait list for one. Yeah.
Come on, Catalyst. Hook us up. Catalyst suit. Catalyst. Hook us up.
Catalyst. Come on, Catalyst.
Catalyst.
Someone here who knows the CEO of Catalyst, please send us all the suit. All right. Okay, so here we are. It's a wacky episode, okay?
Very.
I've got new long hair. This episode has one of my favorite jokes in the whole show.
Ooh, she like the whole season. Talk.
And we'll get to that, but I don't remember. I think I improvised some of it. I don't want to insult your writing, Tim. How much of that?
Who knows who wrote what in this thing?
I know, but do you recall? I don't want to take credit. It was let's just say it was a team effort.
Yeah, okay.
But the bit that we'll get to of me describing to my friends
that
I impregnated Elizabeth Banks without penetration.
Okay, I have a question to ask.
Yes.
We literally went to Vegas just to do a cold open.
Yeah, how did that happen?
Tell us
about the Blue Man Group.
Bill loves the big season opening episodes, and he always wants to do big stuff in those.
Right.
And
Where did Blue Man Group come from? I understood it as like Bill wants to go to Vegas with the whole cast and
crew.
That's
how I looked at it too.
Can we find a reason to make that happen?
But also, Bill was obsessed with Blue Man Group. He loved Blue Man Group.
Oh, he did. Okay.
Yeah.
Did Blue Man Group? We must have worked out a deal. I don't know if we paid them or they paid us because it was sort of an ad for them.
Yeah, I think it probably helped them more than it helped us.
Well, right. We went to the club with the Blue Man Group dude afterwards too.
We did?
Oh, that night. Oh. We did. We partied with the Blue Man Group that night. Not only did we party with the Blue Man Group, I remember the people that were in the club that night were Kim Kardashian. We went to Tao that night. Kim Kardashian and...
But she wasn't famous Kim Kardashian yet.
She wasn't famous Kim Kardashian yet.
I remember them being like, and Kim Kardashian in the house. And I'd be like, and I was like, who is that? And they were, and someone said it's Paris Hilton's sidekick, right?
It's Paris Hilton's closet organizer or some shit like that. That's what it was back in the day. I remember somebody introducing Kim to me. Hey, Donald, have you ever met Kim before? And I was like, oh, hey, how's it going?
Right, but I didn't know she hadn't become the most famous person in the world yet. She was like Paris Hilton's
sidekick at the time.
Yes.
And now forget about it.
All right.
So Jordan's pregnant.
Jordan's pregnant.
Now, Jack's talking a lot.
Right. Now, Jordan's pregnant. Tim, you would know. Who is she pregnant with in real life?
That would probably have been Will, I imagine.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
And Cox gets mad and throws food at Jack's face.
Yes.
You guys have lots of children. It must be frustrating sometimes when they throw food. You want to throw food back at them ever?
Yeah. There was one, you do, but you don't. There was one line in this thing right before they threw the TV out the window. But I'm just jumping ahead a little bit. But like, there, when I got back from we had all the four kids on a vacation and we got in our minivan. My brother Mike picked us up. And I was just so devastatingly tired. And one of the kids dropped his pacifier, one of the twins. And I was trying to pick it up. And my back hurt and my sternum was in the stroller wheel. And I'm trying to get this pacifier. And I arch up because my back hurts. And I go in front of the TV in the minivan. This was Finding Nemo. And my little guy, Charlie, goes, I can't see Nemo. And I go, how would you like my fucking fist in your face? That's what I said to my kid.
Oh, no.
And so I remembered when I was watching this, the guy goes, I can't see the TV, and then Dr. Cox threw it out of the out of the window, and I'm like, oh my god, that was like PTSD of having like,
that's where it came from.
Oh my god. Anyways, that, I'm probably gonna get like social services calling me, but
no, it's okay. Tim doesn't harm his children. He just sometimes threatens to shoot.
Yeah, to put your fist in there.
Let's take a break.
We'll be right back after these fine words.
Did you know that 46% of us don't take all our vacation days? Even though it's been proven that taking time off to play makes us more productive.
In California, no matter where you go, you'll find play. Explore a redwood forest, immerse yourself in art galleries, or just park yourself in a beach chair and chill. Play is everywhere in California, so take some well-deserved playtime off and discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make Mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18+.
With everything you have on your plate, earning your degree online seems impossible. But at Grand Canyon University, we specialize in helping you fit a master's degree in education into your busy day. Your graduation team, led by your own GCU counselor, provides you with the personal support you need to succeed. Achieve your goals with a plan and team behind you. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Visit gcu.edu.
So there's a great moment in this where we're talking about ringtones and Turk's talking about how he's going to put NSYNC's Bye 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 into his phone for the ringtone. And Elliot says, I'm putting Jesus Take the Wheel by Carrie Underwood into mine.
Right.
And Rob Mascio's character, the Todd, walks by and says, I'm carrying Underwood now.
That was the second greatest thing he had other than innuendo.
Innuendo.
Yeah.
Todd starts off the episode saying that he has Underwood, which is a good joke. Now, Pop Rocks and Coke, if you don't know, if you're too young to know, it was always an old wives' tale when we were growing up that this is a deep cut, but there used to be an ad for Life cereal. Life cereal was a very popular cereal. I don't know if it's still popular or not, but I loved it as a kid. And in the ads, the commercials had a little boy, and he was named Mikey.
Yes.
And he was adorable, cute commercial kid. And they'd be like, give it to Mikey. He loves it, right?
No, give it to Mikey. He'll eat anything.
He'll eat anything. And then Mikey would eat Life cereal. And it was adorable.
And they would say, Mikey likes it.
He likes it. Hey, Mikey, he likes it. Okay, go look this up on YouTube if you're curious. Well, a rampant rumor spread that that Mikey, the adorable kid from the Life commercials, had died.
Yes.
Because
Head exploded.
He exploded because he ate Pop Rocks and Coke together.
Yes.
Like Pop Rocks, I don't know if you don't know what Pop Rocks are. It's a candy that goes in your mouth and it fizzes. We show it in this episode, and apparently, so as children, we were terrified that we would explode like poor Mikey if we ever had Pop Rocks and Coke together.
Well, but there's something to all of that, because have you ever seen Mentos and Coke when they are mixed and you see what they can do?
Right.
So imagine if you had Mentos in your mouth and that happened. So the fact that you could see it happen with Mentos only makes it more, makes the urban legend even more of a possibility, because it happens with Mentos. Mentos explodes if you put it in a bottle.
I must admit, I don't know if Mikey died from Pop Rocks and Coke or not.
Mikey, if you're still alive.
Mikey, are you alive?
Joel,
can you please Google what happened to Mikey from the Life Cereal commercial? And is it in fact false that it was Pop Rocks?
That's got to be an urban myth. That's got to be an urban myth. I haven't thought about that in years.
No, but do you remember that? I remember being a child. I remember being a child being afraid that somehow I would forget and have Pop Rocks and Coke and explode like Mikey.
Accidentally.
I have so Kim tells me she's pregnant, and I go, I have to ask you, have there been other penises?
Great line.
Was that ad-libbed?
I don't remember writing that, but that's a great line.
Since we have the writer on the show, I'm going to take
I'm going to
say anything particularly funny was a team.
And I also loved your delivery on thanks a lot. That's hilarious.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
That's different. That's hilarious.
That's hilarious.
I remember loving that joke in the room.
So the Backstreet Boys, NSYNC dancing, that was very funny. I'm trying to get Turk, call Turk. And I can't get him because the entire lobby of the hospital is dancing.
And
Rob, of course, has his shirt off.
Yes.
Did we ask you, do you remember, Donald, if we asked you, what song we should use for that?
No, you guys came in and were like, we're going to use Bye Bye Bye. And I was like, that's fine. That's perfect.
Okay,
it works.
Sweet. Sweet. Yeah.
I do remember this, and I thought it was really weird, but I remembered it, and then it happened in the show. But when you're on you're in front of the deck still, and I knew that something like this had happened. I just couldn't remember it. And you say something to the effect of, there's a party on the deck.
Yes, the gay seniors, you got to set up right. The gay seniors are having a party on my deck, and I'm hammered.
Right, and you say, and JD says something to the likings of, I should be with one of you guys. I should marry one of you guys.
It'd be a lot easier.
My life would be easier if I married one of you guys. And then he passes out. And they freaking form a freaking, a funeral. Is that a procession when they're in line
it's
like
a procession
that?
Let's roll, boys.
It's a procession of Volkswagen Bugs.
All the way to Vegas.
I remember shooting that, and I remember you just being obsessed with that Les Mis stuff.
Well,
Les Mis is in town. It was all you.
Yeah. I assumed I could get them off. JD, it's the second time trying to get the gay seniors off his deck using Les Mis as a lure.
Right. Les Mis is in town.
And they didn't fall for it. Instead, they pretty much take advantage of my incapacitation and try and gay marry me.
Yes.
You heard him, girls. Let's roll. But I think that's consent. What you said is consent.
I don't think it's consent.
It's iron. You said it. My life would be easier if I had just married one of you guys. You heard him, girls.
Yeah, well, all I know is I wake up and I'm about to be married in Vegas to a man.
Oh, my God.
And then Donald gets to Vegas way too fast.
Rest. Yes.
It's 4 hours. It's, what is it? 4.5 hours if you're driving fast?
Yeah. But where did we shoot? Where did we say the show?
Well, we always, that's true. It was never specific. In 5 seasons, we've sort of deduced that it's Los Angeles.
Los Angeles, yeah.
You know why?
We had a fake name in the writer's room of the place. I can't remember it, though.
The real kicker was Sarah takes a train to AC World.
I know. By the way, I can't, just you hearing you say kicker, I can't wait to get to my favorite scene.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
Let's keep moving.
Funny.
So you're all dancing. Kelso gets into it. For some reason, he spikes the lens when he says this is catchy.
Yeah, he did. I noticed that.
I didn't know what that was about. It was sort of a weird choice. Weird.
John Inwood,
our cinematographer, directed this. So yeah. I don't know why our wonderful DP made it such an odd choice. But for no reason, Kelso spikes the lens when he says that line.
Yeah. Inwood's a good guy.
We're in Vegas. Sorry, we're in Vegas, and we do the whole Blue Man Group thing. I remember it being a lot of fun. All we had to do was shoot that quick walk and talk with Donald and the Blue Man Group thing, which we which didn't
take long.
We did
it all in a day. We literally did it
maybe a half a day.
It was easy. Because then we had the rest of the night.
And then we partied. The whole crew and cast was there. I remember having an amazing time. We took over blackjack tables together and we met and
played poker.
You guys were living the life of Riley.
We were.
Well, you know,
and
what
Bill was
crazy
betting huge hands because I remember watching Bill bet huge hands because he was much richer than we were. And I was way more inebriated than we were. And it was a lot of fun to watch him bet like really stupidly giant hands of blackjack. I'd never seen someone do that before.
I do remember you guys being like hung over the rest of the week. Whenever we were shooting.
Oh man, there are so many hungover stories from. I mean,
I wonder how that works. Like we didn't like
we were shooting two episodes. At some point we were shooting two episodes at a time, weren't we? Weren't we doing something where we were doing? At some point it seemed like we were shooting. We weren't shooting like this season alone. I don't think we shot in order. Like I think there was that.
Randall got inventive, right? Probably.
Right. I think there was some times where we were doing other shows that were going to be before, and then I don't know.
It was always the show was always shot on a Monday through Friday schedule. I don't know how we would have gone to Vegas, partied huge, and like been back in LA.
They had
on
to been
shooting.
Yeah, they something. Had to be shooting something.
I don't know how that was
the
scheduled.
Too. There had to be two units.
Is this the first? It's Beard Fosse, damn it.
Second,
okay. So Beard Fosse has a catchphrase.
Yeah, Elliot was going to mount him. I don't know why he didn't take her up on that.
Right.
Yeah, why was Beard Fosse so against being mounted by Elliot?
Like, because he was upset about the name, I guess.
She could call him anything. I mean, what was he thinking?
Yeah.
Well, he may not be into women. He certainly didn't take the lure of being mounted by Elliot, who's very attractive. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what happened there.
Yeah.
This made me laugh. Coincidentally, I have a cousin named Shadaisy.
That was hilarious. That was
now,
so
Tim,
funny.
Now, Tim, where did this this convention come from, if do you recall even, of having the three of us confront mirror sort of different images of ourselves?
I think it was like just one of those. Again, it was like the first one of the season. Bill always wanted to do really cool stuff. And I think having you guys play different versions of yourself felt really cool at the time.
Well, Mrs. ZB is not a name. And
by the way, you're a handsome, handsome woman.
Well, listen, I did an after-school special called My Summer as a Girl, which I encourage you all to Google image.
You talked about it with Gabby as well.
Yes. Yeah, so I did an after-school special when I was at Northwestern during a summer break called My Summer as a Girl. It's a masterpiece.
Let me ask you a question.
Please look for clips on YouTube and enjoy.
When you were at Northwestern and you were filming the movie, were you like big man on campus? Like, I fucking got a job. Some of y'all don't even have jobs yet.
Well, it was during a summer break, and I remember I came back. Well, when I went to Northwestern, I had just done a small part in Manhattan Murder Mystery, and that I was very proud of because that was a huge deal, and I remember feeling cool kid about that.
Right.
This after-school special was pretty darn cheesy, and I knew it, and I think I was a little embarrassed. It wasn't like I was coming back like, oh, I was in something dope, but the check was very meaningful to me as a college kid, and I remember being thrilled about that. But I remember feeling like I was in a fraternity, like everyone gathering around to watch it. And
this is awesome. Dr. Cox would have loved to have known that you shot a student film called My Summer as a Girl.
Yeah. And the actual special just pretty much stole the plot of Tootsie. I couldn't get a job and I needed a job and dressed up like a woman.
Well,
but anyway,
good ones borrow.
But anyway, I've been told I looked like the actress Heather Matarazzo. Which makes sense because we once played brother and Heather is way prettier than I looked, but we once played brother and sister together, so it made sense. I don't think I look like a.
I'm gonna say, but no disrespect to the actress who then we morphed into you. But yeah. I think you were prettier than the actress.
Are you saying that? That's not nice, Tim.
Oh, well, I'm sorry. It's just a.
You're saying that if you had to choose, if you were at a bar and you were going to take one of us home, you would have selected Mrs. ZB.
Yes, 100%. I would have gone home with you that night.
For those of you as high as Donald, you might not know. You might not know that Mrs. ZB is my initials. ZB.
Wait, what?
Yes.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
You just figured it out?
No.
Shut up. Come on, Jesus.
Did you know that 46% of us don't take all our vacation days? Even though it's been proven that taking time off to play makes us more productive.
In California, no matter where you go, you'll find play. Explore a redwood forest, immerse yourself in art galleries, or just park yourself in a beach chair and chill. Play is everywhere in California, so take some well-deserved play time off and discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make Mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s,
she looked like a million bucks,
with zero qualifications,
she had a Harvard plaque,
tricks her way past a wall of lawyers and agents.
She's got all of these Maseratis and Bentleys all in the driveway.
Is it like a mansion?
Yes, it's a mansion. That this queen of the con uses to scam some of the biggest names in professional sports out of untold fortunes.
About $6 million.
Approximately $11 million.
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
Employing whatever means necessary to bleed her victims dry.
She would probably have sex with one of her clients.
Hide your money in your old rich man because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I have another question now.
Go ahead.
And I'm from the African-American community.
Really?
Really? But what the fuck is a Funky Cold Medina?
Oh, there was a song, Funky Cold Medina. It was about
I know,
a drink.
And Tone Loc wrote the song.
Right.
I know the song. But what is a Funky Cold Medina? What is
no
it?
No one knows.
Wasn't the premise of the song that it made people, it was aphrodisiac. Joelle, you're the pop culture expert.
Joelle, I don't know. She's asking.
Joelle, you don't know Funky Cold Medina?
I said Funky Cold Medina. Joelle was like, I don't know what that shit is.
Joelle, you never heard of Funky Cold Medina? It was a song.
I know the song, but what does it mean?
I believe, as I recall, there was a video, and I think Funky Cold Medina was an aphrodisiac drink that would make the ladies all want Sir Mix-a-Lot. Who sang that song?
Oh, it was Tone Loc.
Sorry.
And Funky Cold Medina is a date rape drug?
No, it was consensual. No, it was consensual. It was,
Okay, here we go.
The women, I believe, knew they were drinking an aphrodisiac drink. Am I totally off base here?
So, no. The Urban Dictionary is agreeing with you. Generally, anything to help you get loose or let loose. And Medina was a common surname for black families in Spanish. So,
I don't think it's like it's just it helps you get loose. Have fun.
Joelle, could you scroll through the video on YouTube and see if I'm correct in that women would drink it and then want to bang Tone Loc?
It comes full circle to me going home with you if you were a woman in a bar, though.
if I had some funky cold Medina
and yeah. I saw you, then it's a layup for you.
It wasn't like a roofie thing. It was like you drink it and all of a sudden you're like, give me that.
Oh, we found a recipe.
Okay.
It's 1 ounce of Absolut vodka, Southern Comfort, and blue curacao? I don't know how you say it.
Curacao.
Thank you. Ice with cranberry juice.
Okay.
Sounds awful.
Can you please just answer my query about whether in the video, the storyline. I don't have the best memory, and I just want to know if I'm correct that in the storyline of the video was that women changed their attitude towards Tone Loc once they'd had Funky Cold Medina.
I think that's you could connect those dots, right?
I don't know.
All right. Donald, your joke, Jack, do you mind if I say this?
No, go ahead.
I don't know if you're driving this thing, but...
I do tend to drive the thing, Tim, but you're like much like Bill, entrusting the writer's room to you.
Well, I loved when you were with the motorcycle accident guy, and you said, he said, what's up?
He said, what's up?
That made me laugh so hard.
We were off the rails this season, man. Like, there's so many things that happen in the season where I'm like, what? Not just this episode alone. Like, we came off of 5, and I was like, this is kind of crazy. But, dude, you hide in between my legs where the pedal
and
the freaking brake should be.
Love it.
Yeah.
And then communicate to me.
It's on the verge of the backpack thing, how I fit there. But I did fit there, I guess. But why doesn't she see me?
Because you're hiding under the freaking... You're where the pedal and the brake are.
I know.
The reason people loved you guys together so much is like encapsulated in that charades thing.
Right.
That was funny.
That was so great. The baby CPR class. We are so going to kill the charades tournament this weekend. I mean, people just love you guys.
Well, first of all, how did they get into the charades tournament? Second, his wife is pregnant. Where is the fuck does he think he's going this weekend? Get out of here.
We've been practicing for a charades tournament. I feel like we've given up on the Mighty Kites Club. That hasn't gotten attention
it hasn't,
in years.
It has. We haven't started the Mighty Kites Club yet, have we? That's coming up. That's like
I think Mighty Kites was while I was still there. That was definitely while I was still there because I wasn't here for season
There's
6.
There's a lot of hardcore fans.
What about shower shorts?
Shower shorts.
That's
yeah.
Oh my
already.
God, I love shower shorts so
for
much.
The man who has nothing to hide but still wants to.
One of my favorite things
yeah,
ever.
Me too.
But still wants
Wait,
to.
Tim, but you wrote the first episode for season 6.
But How then I left. I didn't stay for season 6.
Got it.
Okay, yeah. Now let me get this straight, Tim, because I want to get into one of my favorite jokes in all of this whole run of Scrubs, which is the JD explaining how he got Kim pregnant.
God.
It seems to me that JD ejaculated to his own dirty talk. Is that what happened?
It's amazing.
No. Yeah.
Yes. You got sucked up in your own dirty talk.
Right. So what really happened was that we'll go into what he said, but what seems to have happened in the macro is that JD started using dirty talk and turned himself on so much with his own dirty talk.
Right.
That he prematurely ejaculated near
airborne.
Kim's vulva.
Yes.
And some seeped in.
I
mean, I just want you, like, as a fan, I just want you to just read that monologue. It was just so freaking
I wrote down
funny.
Some,
oh,
some,
my God.
I wrote down some key points. There was some unexpected... It's very tricky to describe ejaculating prematurely on a woman's vagina on NBC.
But you did it.
In 2000,
oh,
whatever it was.
Oh, my God, yeah. And it all starts...
In a Disney show. In a Disney
and
show.
It starts with you getting turned on by your own dirty talk, which
is
amazing.
Thanks, Disney. All right, so I say that there was some... I say, can I confide in you guys? And
absolutely,
they're like, sure.
Absolutely, sure. Yeah.
And I say, we never... We got naked, we nuded up, and there was some unexpected friendly fire.
Wait a second. You're telling me that you...
Yeah, I know that's not yet. And I go, and I never got a chance to enter the village.
Wait, hold on. You're saying that you didn't...
and there was an airstrike on an outlying region.
He's freaking... Oh, my God. You should have won an Emmy for this speech.
And what's funny to me is that how it starts off, too. It's like, can I confide in you guys?
Yeah. And Turk trying not to laugh is the funniest damn thing.
Can I just tell you guys something real quick? Because it's great to have friends that you can be like that. I'm sure we all, like Tim, I'm sure you have stories like this also.
Oh, yeah.
Where it's like, my wife doesn't have to.
How do you think those twins came about?
Well, I'm just saying, my wife doesn't have to do much anymore. Like when we're out and about, I'm sure Bill told me a story similar to this once too, but my wife will talk the dirtiest to me in the car ride home. Like, it's going down. Oh, shit. We going to do. Oh, and then we going to do this. And I'm like, oh, yeah. I can't wait to get home. And I'm all excited and everything. And we get home. And within seconds, like that. All because of the dirty talk in the car.
The dirty talk.
So the dirty talk. Do you think that's by design that Casey's like, I don't want this shit to go on forever. So I'm going to get you all worked up.
Absolutely, yes.
It's like the joystick.
It is. She'll go into, oh, you want to do that? Well, I'm going to let you do this. And then we're going to do that.
Well,
and then, oh, I'm going to do this.
That JD did that to himself.
Yeah.
It doesn't even sound like Kim was participating in the dirty talk.
No. He was doing it all. Well, Turk does say, oh, she liked the dirty talk.
Yeah.
No, and I believe I say, no, I do. I find it.
Yeah.
I say something like, I find it.
What do you say?
I think the ladies like it, and then I forgot what I say.
But you basically bring it around to like it's your dirty talk that turns you on.
Yes, and, gosh, yeah. I'd love to see what that dirty
talk
was.
The way you said penetration was so funny too, as a, kind of the Woody Allen kind.
Well, I have to tell you, sorry, I forgot to tell you. I went to the orthopedist because I'm having some back issues, and they have a TV. They're always playing random nature shows. Or whatever, they play random TV on in the waiting room, and I walk in and Psych is playing huge with subtitles, you know, because it's off, the volume's off on the TV, and I got a mask on. I mean, I know they know my name from the monitors, their computers and everything. I got an appointment, but it doesn't really cross my mind that they recognize me because I've got a mask on and everything, and they go, one of them goes, does that bother you? We're playing Psych.
The fuck, it's like Curb Your Enthusiasm.
And I'm like, well, I will say, of all of the infinite television shows you guys could be playing, you happen to be playing the one that does seem to come closest to ours.
Yeah.
And this is a doctor's office. Why not just put on ours? So sorry, I know that was a non sequitur, but
I have a question to. Okay, so there's two things that happen in this season that I thought were that happens from here on out. But I think this is the year that Ken all of a sudden starts to get the monologues with the zinger at the end, and then he walks out. You know what I mean?
Ken does?
Ken gets the. This is when I feel like this is when it started, where because he has the whole thing in this scene where he gives a story, but at the end of the story, and I forget what it was, but at the end of the story, there's a zinger for whoever he's telling the story to. Like, you know, your life is this with the zinger at the end. I believe this is when it starts happening. He has it with the janitor at one point, and I wish I would have wrote it down. I did write down the example of it, but I didn't write down exactly what he said, and so...
Well, they're talking about things on their bucket list, and... Oh, no, sorry. That's the janitor with the old man version of the janitor. And he says, do things on your bucket list. And the janitor suggests punching a whale. And the old man says, oh, I've punched a whale. I laughed at that.
Went
down like Liston. That's right. Went down like Liston.
What's funny. Liston? Boxer?
Sonny Liston.
Sonny Liston was a boxer. He was if I'm correct, the champ before Muhammad Ali. Muhammad Ali took the title from him.
Nice. Ken is funny in this episode.
But that's what I'm saying. This was when the assassin became the assassin. Like he was always funny, but now he has a specific role in the show. Like, his job is to come in, say an important sentence, but at the end give a zinger, it seems.
Yeah, that's true.
Right. Well, he comes over to me and he says, it's come to my attention that you're having a relationship with a colleague, and I need to know about that. Was she naughty?
Was she naughty?
I bet she was a hellcat.
She was a hellcat. You know what? Never mind.
All right, let's. So we're going to take a quick break, everybody, as we do. And we're going to bring in a guest and talk to them. And hopefully they'll be delightful. We'll be right back.
Did you know that 46% of us don't take all our vacation days? Even though it's been proven that taking time off to play makes us more productive.
In California, no matter where you go, you'll find play. Explore a redwood forest, immerse yourself in art galleries, or just park yourself in a beach chair and chill. Play is everywhere in California, so take some well-deserved play time off and discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Mother's Day is coming, and Mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get Mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get Mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So, instead of getting Mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get Mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for Mom is Mother's Day, because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for Mom at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s,
she looked like a million bucks,
with zero qualifications,
she had a Harvard plaque,
tricks her way past a wall of lawyers and agents.
She's got all of these Maseratis and Bentleys all in the driveway.
Is it like a mansion?
Yes, it's a mansion. That this queen of the con uses to scam some of the biggest names in professional sports out of untold fortunes.
About $6 million.
Approximately $11 million.
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
Employing whatever means necessary to bleed her victims dry.
She would probably have sex with one of her clients.
Hide your money in your old rich man, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Gurgle,
played
gurgle,
a song.
Gurgle.
We got a caller who gave us a holler. We can talk Star Wars or sing show tunes, you know, like a baller. Smoke some jazz cabbage, maybe talk about the episode. So come on, Joel, let's get the show on the road.
Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Matthew Tokelson!
One of you is Matthew. Who's the other?
We're both Matthew.
Oh, that makes it very easy.
Yes.
And I can just solely tell by your very young faces that you win youngest guest we've ever had
ever
on the show.
Ever. How old are you guys?
19. I'm 20.
Oh. 19 and 20.
Oh, well, you both look a bit younger.
A lot younger.
Your fake IDs are not going to work when you get them. You're wearing a merch from the podcast, which
yes,
we appreciate.
Yes.
And on the wall behind you, is that behind you? Is that a BoJack thing?
Yeah.
Okay. We like BoJack.
So do we. Yeah.
Welcome to the program, guys. We are so happy when young folks find the show because, you know, we were never Friends level successful, the show. So when younger generations find it, we're always so happy. How did you guys find it, discover it? Your parents or something?
I had a friend, one of my best friends back home, told me, you have to watch Scrubs. It's so funny. And so I watched it, and then I watched it again, and then I watched it again.
Thanks, man.
Thank you, Matt.
You very much. You know what you should do? You should tell all your friends the same thing. Just get them on board.
We do.
Because your generation is obsessed with Friends, and Donald and I would really like, and The Office, and you know.
We'd like some of that love too. You know
Friends
what I mean?
Friends has to be included. Yeah.
Guys, this is Tim Hobart, who's one of the writers of the show, and he wrote this particular episode we're talking about. Tim, say hi to the young men.
Matthew and Matthew.
Hi, Tim.
Tim has kids your age, so he knows what
Joel.
Tim's son is actually our really good and close friend, Charlie.
Really?
Wait a second.
Joel hooked me up.
Joel, what the hell's going on here?
What is going on here?
Nepotism here and there, you know.
What is going on here?
Here I am bragging about how a new generation is finding Scrubs. It's the fucking writer's son's friend.
But wait a minute, Zach, these guys are giant Scrubs fans and both theater nerds, and one of them is also a sports freak. So it's like it's all what you and Donald are about.
I know. You guys are the eye of the me and Donald storm. If you like, especially, which one of you likes sports and musicals?
Well, the one that has a Boston Celtics hat on, Zach.
Oh, sorry. Well, I love that because that's a rare. Donald and Bill are both rare examples of men who love both musicals and sports.
Sorry. Yeah. Very small circle.
There's not a lot of us.
In the Venn diagram, there's not a whole lot.
No.
Yeah.
You know.
There's probably seven of you on Earth. Boys, gentlemen, sorry, young men, did you have a question for us?
Yes. We each had a question. I guess I'll go first.
Yeah.
Okay. My question is about the guest stars that you guys had. It relates to the guest stars that you guys had on Scrubs, because obviously you had an incredible cast there every week, but you also got to work with like some really cool people that just came in for an episode or two. But I have a question for you guys. If you guys could guest star on a show.
Oh, boy.
Right now, good question.
What would you choose?
Yeah.
Oh, you won't. You already know, Matthew.
I do know. I had a feeling that your answer might be.
His answer is going to come in the form of singing an orchestral theme song.
Dun 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 dun. Dude, speaking of the Mandalorian, thank you for the beautiful segue, Matthew. Did you watch this weekend?
No, I have not.
You watched Wednesday. You have not watched Wednesday.
I haven't watched the newest.
Joelle, have you watched The Book of Boba Fett?
I texted you right
episode?
After, so you know I did.
I know you did. I know you did. I know you did.
I feel bad for the actor playing Boba Fett because people are most excited about episodes he's not in.
Yep.
Yeah, that kind of sucks. That does kind of suck.
Yeah.
That does kind of suck.
That was a struggle.
But I
but
will.
But something got in the episodes he wasn't in.
Yeah. Thank you. Right. But I will say this. Thank you for not putting them in those episodes and putting out what you put out, because those have been two of the best Star Wars period in a long time. In a long, long time. And it's so good that I would even say I could watch that show, even if there's no action in it, I could watch that. You know, there's something that for some reason, it's not in a lot of Star Wars movies, and it's always a small part of it, and it should be way more. But the training is so fucking fire. Why do we keep going away from this? Why do we keep doing other things? My point is, fucking Boba Fett, episode 6, best Star Wars I've seen in a long time. Anyway, let's move on.
Dave Filoni's ready for a feature.
All right, I'm going to go for, there's a comedy I love called The Other Two.
I love that.
Great show.
Yeah.
I think you guys should watch it because it's got it definitely is a Scrubsy-esque
it's
tone
hilarious.
And humor. It's about it's on what is it on these days?
I think it's on
HBO Max.
Yeah.
Check it out. It's about a family. Molly Shannon plays the mom, and there's three siblings, and one becomes a huge like Justin Bieber level pop star, and the other two are kind of fuck ups. And it's about the other two trying to live with like a new mega famous Justin Bieber brother. And it's brilliant. Fucking hilarious. There's two seasons. I would love to be on that show. That's the one that first came to my mind. On the other side of the spectrum, I would say Succession, because that's
such a good show. Dude, you know what? Just the soundtrack alone for Succession is fucking fire, dude.
The theme song is
my alarm.
It's his alarm.
Really? That shit comes on and I'm like, yo, that song comes on and I'm like, I spit game. Fire, like flame, fire. Like out of nowhere to start rapping.
I know, dude. Some rapper should sample that theme song.
For sure.
I love a good theme song.
Yeah, so anything in the Star Wars universe.
Lawrence and I have a specific dance we do to the British Bake Off theme song.
Love that. Is very brave of you to admit.
That's amazing.
It's a great theme.
Okay, next question.
Yes.
Matthew number two.
Revivals. They're a really big thing in theater right now. I know we've just got Music Man revival with...
Yes, I can't wait.
Jackman. Yes.
And Sutton Foster.
Yes. Wait, Hugh Jackman is going back. Hugh Jackman and Sutton Foster are going back to Broadway to do the Music Man.
It's in previews, about to open. It's going to be the show of the year. It's huge.
Yes.
Can he win again? Can he get nominated again for that, though? Is that possible?
It never opened, my bro.
Oh, wait a second. Didn't Hugh Jackman do the Music Man on Broadway like 5 years ago?
No. Hugh Jackman and Sutton Foster were going to open the show last year.
It got
COVID-ified.
Got it.
And so everything got pushed, and now it's about to open. And for those of you who don't know, Sutton Foster is like one of the biggest Broadway stars there is. She's incredible. She can dance. She can sing.
A lot of people just know her from that show, Younger.
Oh, yeah. You might know her from Younger. She's awesome. She's a friend of mine. She's so fucking cool. And she's like one of the best tap dancers on Broadway, and Hugh is a really good tap dancer, so you know they're gonna do a big ass tap dance number in Music Man. Anyway,
yes,
you got me all riled
no,
up.
No, we can geek out about something.
This is like you talking Mandalorian. I got all titillated about the Music Man. By the way, the Music Man, just so you know, the Music Man was my, I think I probably said this before because we've done a lot of these, but the Music Man was my very first audition. For the community theater production, I auditioned for Winthrop, the little boy, and then got a chorus part and did it. But there you go. It was my very first audition.
That was me with Oliver. Oliver was
Oh, really?
Who did you get?
I auditioned for the Artful Dodger, and I was also in the chorus. So I got to pick pockets and stuff.
I love the Artful Dodger. I played the Artful Dodger at theater camp. Not to brag or anything.
So anyway, producers are looking to modernize those stories and reinvent important moments. If you guys could revive any musical, what musical would you choose to revive and how would you modernize?
Great question.
Great question.
These guys are on fire.
They must go to I bet you they go to a posh LA private school before they graduate.
Wisconsin.
What?
They're in Milwaukee.
Yeah, oh, I thought Milwaukee. Because they were your son's friends that they...
No,
oh,
they're all at college.
Oh, are you at Madison?
Marquette.
Oh, okay, awesome.
That's where...
D-Wade. D-Wade went to Marquette, yo.
We also have Chris Farley and Dave
and
well.
And your boy... And not only did D-Wade go to Marquette, but didn't your boy Jimmy Buckets go to Marquette, too?
Yes, Jimmy Butler? Yeah.
Shame I'm not wearing my Dwayne Wade jersey right now.
Yeah. Both played for Miami.
It's a great question. Donald, do you have an answer?
See, if I could...
The trend on Broadway, again, for those of you who have no interest or care... is often to take these musicals. Some people do a traditional version, like I think Music Man is a pretty traditional version of it. And some people deconstruct it. Like there's a touring version of Oklahoma. I recommend if it comes to your city, you see where they really deconstructed Oklahoma and did a really kind of out of the box, darker version of the story. And they're doing, someone did one with West Side Story. So that's the sort of trend.
They're taking the same music and the same dialogue and just putting it in a different setting?
Yeah, but it's like saying, like, this isn't your grandmother's Oklahoma. This is going to, like, Oklahoma has some dark shit that happens in it, and we're going to tease all that out. And, the first thing that came to my mind was either Pippin or Godspell. Those are favorites of mine. that could be cool to deconstruct. Donald, don't say the Wiz. Go.
Well, the Wiz was deconstructed, actually. That was the deconstruction of the Wizard of Oz.
Oh, checkmate.
If
he says The Mandalorian, I'm signing off.
I wouldn't turn any show into The Mandalorian, but I would want to redo Chorus Line, because I think all the music and all of that stuff is great, and the dancing is great, and it takes place on a stage, but theater is a lot different than it was back then. You know what I mean? It's way different. And so maybe spice up the music a little bit, change the dance numbers a little bit to something more modern and everything like that. So if I could do anything, maybe Chorus Line would be the one. Because you can't go wrong with that music.
That was my father's favorite show. He saw it.
You can't go wrong with that music, though. That's why, Zach, that music
is... I really need this job.
Great fucking number. I've got to get this job. Who am I anyway?
I know. I'll find a way.
This is the best line. This was the commercial for the damn show. Who am I anyway?
Go ahead.
Am I my resume? I don't know what the rest of the
rest said.
Did you guys see the new West Side Story, the Spielberg West Side Story?
That's another version.
Yeah. Did you watch it, by the way, Don?
You just got it to me. Me and my wife have a date night tonight.
Oh, good. Watch it, please, because I thought it was... Granted, I don't know who the audience is other than me and people who love musicals, but it's beautiful. The cinematography, Janusz Kaminski, the costumes, the sets, and a young gal named Rachel Zelger, who is a Jersey native, that's why I root for her, won the cattle casting and is incredible. And I highly recommend you check it out.
We're going to watch it tonight. Go ahead.
I loved it. It was beautiful. One of the prettiest movies I've ever seen.
The cinematography, if he doesn't win, I mean, there was a lot of great cinematography this year. In fact, Tick, Tick, Boom, which was the other musical, which I loved even
my
more.
Favorite. Yeah, we both. Huge fan.
I loved it. And I have such a man crush on Andrew Garfield now.
Now,
Who doesn't?
I have a very serious question to ask the two of you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Did you like La La Land?
Oh, boy.
This interview is over. Good night, guys.
I don't like that pause. Thank you for coming on.
We're done.
We're done.
Yeah. We're done.
Just lie to him. He used to drunk tweet.
I loved
tweet.
It, Donald. I loved it.
You guys,
thank you.
You guys, he used to, if you recall, he used to drunk tweet about it on the airplanes. He would get hammered, put it on, and drunk tweet about it.
I would get pissed off about how Emma freaking leaves Ryan for freaking the dude from that thing you do.
No, wait, he would be like, I'd be like checking. This is back when I was really reading Twitter, and I'd be like, oh no, he's drunk tweeting about all of that. And he'd be like, he invested in her career. Why couldn't he play jazz in Paris?
Oh shit!
Yeah, it's real talk.
So
Tim,
know,
you don't know this. What's up,
Don? We know your opinion, but Zach, what do you think of La La Land?
I think it's amazing. I love it. I thought the music was beautiful. I thought the way it was shot was beautiful. I love both those actors. I think Emma Stone can do no wrong, and I really like Ryan Gosling. I thought it was, and people said, "Oh, anyone's critique of it, like I don't agree with." I loved the ending, the way they handled like the other dimension where things had worked out, and I just thought it was so beautiful. And I'm the biggest sucker in the world for a love that cannot be and love that doesn't work out and directors who have the balls to make movies without the happy ending. And
that's the best part about it, man.
Yeah. If you want to make me cry, the story is going to be love that cannot be, either romantic love or familial love. I'm a sucker for that.
Oh,
all right, boys, it's time for Wisconsin's favorite segment.
It's time to fix your life. We're fixing that shit.
It's going to be a mutual fix. I hope we can help.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So, as I said before, I'm a huge, huge sports fan. Like
more than musicals, or is it equal?
It's equal. Like, I'm a theater major, so like that's what I want to do with my life.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But it's almost unhealthy how much my emotional status is connected to whether my team wins or loses.
What are your teams other than the Boston Celtics?
It's weird because they're all over the place.
We don't care.
So the New Orleans Saints is my football team.
Okay.
Celtics is my basketball team. And the San Francisco Giants is my baseball team. Now,
what's your hockey team?
The Boston Bruins.
Okay.
Really?
Yeah. Also, and Seattle Kraken, because that's near where I'm from.
And your cricket team?
I can give you my favorite tennis player.
Who's your favorite tennis player?
Yeah, who's your favorite tennis player?
Rafael Nadal, hands down.
Nadal, wow.
Is he the one that keeps trying to sneak into Australia?
No, that's Djokovic. That's Djokovic.
Yeah, Djokovic, stop trying to get into Australia, bro. They're not going to
come on, he probably would have won that Open if he would have got in, though. That's the only thing.
He keeps trying to sneak in, being like, I took the horse thing. I took the horse thing.
Oh, shit.
Bro, give up the tournament. All right, so go ahead.
So anyway, the question is, I guess.
Well, he lets sports teams command his mood. I wake up in the morning and I check the news and I see another big name celebrity has passed on. And my emotional tether is a little too close to whether celebrities live or die. His emotional tether is determined on whether his team wins or loses. So
I don't really talk to people after the Celtics lose.
Okay, that's the question. Is it just the Celtics losing, or is it?
It's mostly like if the Saints lose and their season ends, then I'll be like really upset about it. But it's really
so when
just,
Jameis Winston went out this year, you were like you were pissed off for the rest of the season, pretty much.
Yeah, but I wasn't like super invested after Drew Brees left.
Jameis Winston's going to freaking be great for you guys.
Is Larry Bird still on the team?
No, not anymore.
Come on.
I know about I learned about point shaving. Is Larry Bird still point shaving on the team?
Larry Bird has never point shaved in his life. That's blasphemy.
Okay. Right, was he the, what's the position I learned?
He was a small forward. Larry Bird was a small.
No,
Larry
what was Bird the position was I learned?
Point guard. You learned
was
point
he the
guard.
Point guard?
No, he was a small forward.
Okay. Stop yelling at me. Go ahead.
Anyway, so I allow that to like kind of ruin my day. Right. And he was a wreck after Betty White died, even though she was 100 years old.
Almost.
She had an amazing life. Go ahead. What's the question?
The question, I guess, is
fix your life. I mean,
the fix your life, I guess, is how do we not let that ruin our entire days?
Well, I don't know about ruining. Come on, now you can't let that shit ruin your.
Okay, well,
in all honesty, come on, bro. That's just ruining your day, man.
Like 7 or 8. So, like,
no, I have a question. When the Celtics lose, and I understand you're a diehard fan, I understand being upset, but you're talking about like for more than like 20 minutes, your whole day is ruined, or are you exaggerating?
I'm exaggerating. Okay, but it also depends on the nature of the loss.
Yeah, the bigger the loss, the more it hurts. I totally get it. I'm going to tell you something right now.
Yeah, Donald has to answer that part of the question.
This is the honest to goodness truth. I got into fantasy football, and it made it so football wasn't that serious anymore because I went crazy for like a year and a half during football season trying to get my lineup in, trying to figure out who was the best fucking running back to get me the most points and all of that stuff. And at the end of the day, when I won my fantasy football league, I got nothing. Like, I got a couple of $100, and that was it. And I realized my fandom has gone so far that I'm fucking stressing the little things about. So when the Knicks, they've never won in my lifetime. They've never won a thing in my lifetime. I've let it go. I'm on the path of a Jedi now. The job for you, Matthew, is to figure out a way to understand that it's just sports, and that's all it is, man. At the end of the day, you're not what the Boston Celtics eat does not make you shit. So
that's beautiful, Donald. And tell my son Charlie that about the Brewers too.
And I want you to think about those players going home. They're pissed off too, but then they drive home in a Lamborghini to their mansions. Yep. And they're not that upset. So need to calm down.
They don't give two, right? You know what I mean? Like,
I'm going to give you a cognitive behavioral tool. What's a favorite food you love? like a milkshake or a cheeseburger or something? What's your favorite thing to eat?
Something vegan? We don't know.
No, no. Something. Is there something?
not the vegan.
Something
shit.
You both love. Just how can I go with milkshake? Everybody loves a milkshake.
Yeah, yeah.
So what you're going to do is when the team loses or the famous treasured celebrity dies, you are going to say, I go get a giant milkshake.
Wow.
Because you at least are going to give yourself, your brain, a consolation prize. And you'll get to the point where you'll be rooting for that famous celebrity to die. Because you'll want a milkshake.
That is fire.
Just in
there. You'll be like, come on, Ed Asner. You're holding on.
Gotta go.
Oh, no,
Ed Asner just, he passed. He just passed.
I'm sorry.
That's not a milkshake.
That's a milkshake.
Yeah, well, you guys are doing a milkshake for Ed Asner. Rest in peace.
That was genius. Fucking genius.
All right, let's go out. You always go out on a laugh, Tim.
Wait, hold up.
That's a comedy writer thing.
Always go out on a laugh. But who was the vet that played who was the guy who played the vet at the end that salutes you?
Oh, and why the fuck was he sitting behind the guy?
His name was Buddy, and he was the generator operator.
Oh, he was. I was wondering if you would knew that,
Right. Wait, was he in transportation?
Yes, he was. Yeah. Well, in the transportation department, there's someone who monitors the power generator. He's called the Jenny Op, we call him. And Buddy was our Jenny Op for many years.
He had a great face.
Yeah. Well, at the end
So now instead of going on that laugh, we're going out on Buddy's face.
Yes.
Buddy's face.
Oh, and we should mention the whole flag thing. That was very, very stonerific.
Now, that is very stonerific because they took cardboard cutouts.
It didn't look horrible, by the way. My girlfriend watched it, and she was just in Black Widow, and she was like, how'd you do that? And I said, I don't really remember. for whatever year it was, it didn't look horrible. There was definitely...
Were you holding on to the flag?
That was green screen. That part...
Yeah.
No, it wasn't. I couldn't tell if it was green screen or not.
You were up there, I think.
You were up on that flagpole, if I remember correctly.
I was up on the pole, but I don't think... Oh, yeah, I was up on the pole, and there was a crane involved holding
something
my
had
legs.
To pull your legs up, yeah.
Yeah.
And Donald, I love how those other janitors just accepted you into their clique.
I'm part of the team, too. We all go do this. Yeah.
As long
we're
as
all
we JD.
Yeah.
Oh, because I embarrassed you with Carla's wrong name.
Yeah, you said it was something else. And I go Juanita, and I go and say that to her, and she goes, "You think my middle name's wrong?" And the fucked up shit is that he goes,
and "You're not even." And you say she's Puerto Rican.
Yeah, you say her middle name is Juanita. And I said, "I knew it was something Puerto Rican."
And by the way, that's Bill does that at parties. I'll be like, "Hey, Bill, who's that guy again?" And Bill just tell me the wrong name, and I'll go over and fucking say,
"Oh, it's so mean."
Hey, Jim, how's it going? Yeah,
I've done that to people, but it's really mean to do that.
Brutal, so embarrassing.
All right, that's the show. You guys have been great guests, Tim. I hope you'll come back.
I swear to God, I had more fun than I've had in so long.
You're a great guest, and you guys were great guests,
and thank you, Joelle, for doing that.
And thanks, Joelle. And guys, you're a delight. You are a nice young man, and I hope that
who have our interests.
Yes, who have our same interests. And let's just hope
Mike Jaminski is going to do a Mike Jaminski.
They don't know who Jaminski is.
Oh, I love Jaminski.
I just hope that Larry Bird kills it this season and stops point shaving.
Should be good. Larry Bird's not on the team. We get a milkshake.
Could we?
Yes.
Take that picture.
This is my. I'm taking a picture.
Okay. I'm gonna do a screenshot. Okay, ready? Did you do it? Thank you so much.
You know, it's interesting about having, most guests ask for a picture. The young men were able to do it in under 45 seconds.
So impressive.
There's your big laugh, Zach.
There you go. Always go out and big laugh, everybody. 5, 6, 7, 8.
Stories about a show we made about a bunch of docs and nurses and a janitor who loved to hate. I said, here's a story.
Did you know that 46% of us don't take all our vacation days? Even though it's been proven that taking time off to play makes us more productive.
In California, no matter where you go, you'll find play. Explore a redwood forest, immerse yourself in art galleries, or just park yourself in a beach chair and chill. Play is everywhere in California, so take some well-deserved play time off and discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars for the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. The Koala Moon podcast has revolutionized over 20 million bedtimes, with parents like you calling it life-changing and the perfect nighttime routine. With original kids' bedtime stories and cozy sleep meditations, every episode has been specially designed to make bedtimes a dream. Listen to Koala Moon on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.